Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast. Today we'll be continuing the Toxic Series with week 6, Worry and Fear. Let's listen in with Pastor Jarvis Glanzer.
So in Luke 10, it talks about that. So here's this guy with a withered hand outside the temple because he couldn't get in. Jesus walks by and he says, stretch forth your hand. And I want to set this tempo right away. So here is this guy, withered hand, and Jesus doesn't tell him exactly what to do, but he says, stretch forth your hand. Now the guy it says that he had a withered hand, and that means he also had a good hand. And all of a sudden it says, Jesus says, stretch forth your hand, and what he does is he literally gives the guy two options. He says, you can stretch forth this hand, or you can stretch forth this hand. And Jesus just comes by and says, stretch forth your hand. He goes, okay. And here's the best part of the story. It says that the guy reached up with his withered hand and it was healed. Like literally, can you imagine that? Just boom, just healed. The reason the story is so cool is because I don't believe that God has called us to be at Watermark so we can be a museum to show off what God, you know what I'm saying, to show off what we can do. Like for too many years, the church has been a place where you put your best foot forward and you're all perfect, and we're gonna be perfect. And I'm like, dude, isn't a church supposed to be a way where we understand that nobody's perfect? That everybody needs to be healed, that everybody needs to be restored. And so what's cool about this is that the guy literally puts forth, if he would have put forth this hand, guess what? He wouldn't have seen a healing because it was already good. And Jesus just says, stretch forth this hand, and when he stretched forth this, it was instantly healed because he stretched forth out of his need. Does that make sense? He was honest, and he said, this is where I need a healing. This is why we're doing this toxic series. Because, listen, check this out. Whatever you hide can't really be healed. Like, whatever you keep and hidden, saying, I'm not going to reveal that. I'm not going to pull this out. Whatever this is, listen, I know God can bring stuff to the surface, but if we keep on shoving this toxic stuff down and saying, I don't want to deal with it, the problem, God says, if you stretch forth your withered stuff, I will heal it, but just be honest. So is that making sense? And so this whole toxic series is saying, we're talking through toxic relationships, toxic thoughts, toxic emotions, these toxic things, because we do things normally, and we think, oh, this is just the way I've always done it. And I'm like, maybe it's not right. Maybe the way we think is not right. So today is about worry and fear, and I think it's awesome because worry is like a snake. Because when it wraps around you, it starts to drain everything else. It's like my favorite quote about worry is this. Worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy but doesn't get you anywhere. Is this true? Like you rock but you're not moving. I mean, even though you're not moving forward. And so worry does this to us. I think it's interesting because worry in the health field, people who worry all the time will do a lot of bad things to your body. For instance, it will weaken your immune system if you worry too much. It will produce high blood pressure. It will give you an upset stomach, ulcers, acid reflux, anxiety, rapid heartbeat, panic attacks, increased blood sugar levels, can impair formation of new fast-growing cells like hair. So if you worry too much, you could lose your hair. How crazy is that? Irritable bowel problems, backaches could cause infertility. Tension, headaches could happen with migraines, sleep problems, chronic fatigue syndrome. It could have heavy breathing, skin conditions. Dangers of worrying too much may have a greater impact on your body than what you're worried about. Isn't it irony that some of us worry about our body's health at the same time, when you worry about, over-worry about your health, you're not making your body healthier. Isn't this interesting that as you move through this? And so Proverbs 12:25 says, an anxious heart weighs down a man. Worry, defined as we define it today, is this. Worry is faith in fear. Worry is this attitude of just living in this fear mentality that you're just anticipating something bad's going to happen. You're not sure what's going to happen. Worry is something you learn. Studies have shown that children usually pick up what the parents are. Now, last week, as we're talking about relationships, I mentioned this. I'm going to mention this again. More is caught than taught. So parents or leaders, listen up. More is caught than taught. So as a parent, you might be telling your kids not to do or do something, but if you're a person who does that, more is caught than taught. And so worry is learned. If you are a parent and you are a parent who worries, your kids will begin to have that same kind of tension that you create. And so it happens in that mentality. And so it's interesting because worry, but here's the good news. Just as much as we have learned to worry in anything in life, we can sometimes unlearn it. Now, let me just do an FYI here. There is anxiety issues. Some people take medication for anxiety. I'm not really talking too much about, I don't know enough about that. And I was honest in the beginning saying, listen, I've had some medical issues and some of my emotions have went crazy at one time. And so I understand to a point what that means. And so a lot of this, but I'm just going to address the majority of us who literally just spend too much time worrying and living in fear. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is this, the four most common fears. But before I do that, let's all just stand up this morning. I just want us to pray and jump this thing into it. So if we just close our eyes, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, it's your party and you invited us. Lord, it's not about me. Lord, it's about your relationship with us and about every single person in this room. And Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name today that, Lord, in the midst of this toxic stuff, that you pull stuff to the surface. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that people who live in fear, I pray that faith will arise in us. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you do a work in our hearts today, that I just pray you do. It's not about being wrong or right, it's about being right with the things of you. And I just pray, help us to fall in love with you and your word and who you are today. And Lord, as we put our withered hand up, we don't just reveal our good, but even reveal our bad, that there's stuff in our lives that we all, including me, we all need to be healed of. And I just pray, soften our hearts today in Jesus' name, amen. Grab a seat. There's four things, most common fears. I'm not saying this is the only fears, and I got to do this kind of like, just kind of throw it out there. There's four common fears that a lot of us face, and there's more than this, but number one is a lot of us fear loss. A lot of us fear loss. You fear losing a job, losing a spouse, losing kids. Every parent fears that. Isn't that true? Like, every parent just has that, like, safety. It's interesting the culture that we live in. I remember we lived in the Black Hills, and we lived at a campground called Hart Ranch and growing up. And I remember being in fourth and fifth grade and third grade, and my parents would work all day, and they would say, and here's the rule. Like, we lived in the mountains, and I used to wear these hot pink shorts. You can ask my parents. And I think the reason I wore them is because they could see me anywhere. I was like a buoy out there. Like, you can look in a mountain. Oh, there's Jarvis walking around. And so, literally, I lived in the Black Hills and where there's tons of people. And nobody questioned this. But in that time, in that culture, my parents would go to work like anybody else. My parents would go to work. And I was the youngest one in the family. And I would get on my bike and I would run around. And my parents would say, be home by supper. Be home by dark. I'm like, okay. And like, I would go and throw rocks at rattlesnakes. And I would... Really? Is that the craziest thing? And now me as a parent, my kids are like, can I go outside? Don't leave our yard. Isn't that the weirdest thing? I'd be like, my parents would be like, yeah, just stay within that hill and this hill and come back by supper. But that's just the way we're raised. I mean, I remember some of my friends were telling me that you would just bike for like 30 hours and then your parents wouldn't know where you're at. You're just gone. And we live in this culture where like, there is so much, and I'm not saying that's bad. I am this way. Like, we just say, and because we live in a culture that's differently, it's a little bit more there's stuff, and I'm not saying it's bad or good, but we, as parents, even have this fear of, like, I don't want something bad to happen. Like, you put up all these fences and you protect yourself and you do all these things and you were just trying not to have, and you just do all stuff and you're just saying, listen, I remember my mom and dad drove a Lincoln Continental, like a boat car, like huge. Like, you could put like 15 dead bodies in the trunk kind of car. Like, and I remember growing up, we had a big family and all the kids were mostly in the back seat. My spot where I sat was in the middle hump of the floor, right? Or in the middle between my parents. And I'm like, dude, now we have everything from like car seats to everything to like all the stuff. And I'm like, dude, I would lay when I was skinnier, when I was little, I would lay in the back windshield. Isn't this crazy? And I'm just like, now we live in it. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying in our lives, we put up so many perimeters and boundaries. And I was at Mall America just last year, and this one mom literally had leashes on her kids. Leashes. Like, they would go too far, and she just pull them back. I'm not saying it's bad. It's a little weird, but it's not saying, you know, it's interesting. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is, it's interesting because, but sometimes we live in so much fear saying we lose, we're saying, am I going to lose my job? Am I going to lose this? Am I going to lose this? And we are so afraid of this. But here's a question I have. What are you most afraid of losing right now? What are you most afraid of losing? And this is an interesting question because next question I want to raise is this. If you were to lose it, then does your do you lose your relationship with the Lord? This is something we really gotta work through because a lot of sometimes what happens in our spiritual life is a lot of it's based on what we have. But when you look at the story of Job, who lost everything in Scripture, as you work through it, even within the midst of anger and everything, his passion for the Lord grew in the midst of losing everything. Next one is this. First one is fear of loss. Another most common fear is fear of failure. I fear not being good enough. I fear, am I the right person? I fear, am I not going to finish well? I feel if I start this, is it not going to go well? Like, we are afraid of messing up. And so many people don't try because we are afraid of failing. A fear of teaches us not to take chances. It's toxic because fear will hold us back from even trying because in our toxic mindsets, we say, I'd rather not even try than look like an idiot. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm just gonna show you some really funny point. Every single fall and spring, TV networks put out new shows every single fall and spring. It's like the best new comedy of the year, best new drama of the season. Can I tell you, every network puts out like 15 TV shows, and they're just going to hope one of them sticks. You know what you remember? You don't remember the ones that don't work. You remember the ones that do work. I barely remember all my failures. I mean, I do remember some of them. I mean, my wife remembers more than I do. But think about this. We always think, well, I'm just going to mess up and I'm going to fail. And I'm like, dude, I failed. Can I just be honest with you? In my life, I feel more like a bridesmaid than I do a bride. Anybody else with me? Because I'm not the first one picked for events. I'm not the first one picked when we're in grade school saying, I want that guy. Like, listen, you're like, well, I'm just going to back into this one again. And this is why I feel like sometimes we just feel like, well, I'm going to mess up. And I just feel like, so here's a question I have for that one. What are you afraid of failing at? What are you afraid of failing at? Number three is a fear of rejection. Many of us fear rejection and abandonment. Maybe because you were abandoned. Maybe because you feel like in your own family that you weren't chosen. Maybe you feel like you were less loved than somebody else. Maybe you went in a relationship where you've been left. Maybe you made mistakes and you feel bad. Maybe you feel like the Lord has been. But some of you just feel like that fear of rejection. In your decisions every day, as you surround yourself with people, some people, here's what's interesting, some people who fear rejection, one set of people won't even allow others in because you say, if I don't allow people in, they're not going to reject me. And then other people say, if I allow everybody in, and if I become a people pleaser, and then some, you know, is that making sense? So you go in this whole aspect saying, I don't want to be abandoned, I don't want to be rejected. So sometimes people have the people pleasing anchored into the fear of rejection. I'm just going to please everybody, then that way you're going to like me. The problem with that is, if you please everybody, you don't even know who you are anymore. And so you have this sense of rejection. Number four is this, a fear of the unknown. And this is what I believe a lot of us sit in, is because the fear of the unknown is not sure what lies ahead. So I would call this the what ifs. Well, what if this happened? What if this happened? What if this happened? Anybody ever read the book, Worst Case Scenario book? It's like one of my favorite books. Because it tells you, like, if you're going to be attacked by a shark, here's what you should do. Thank you. I live in Minnesota, but thanks for knowing that. My favorite is when you read it, says, if you, you know what I'm saying, if you encounter a mob of people, if you do this or a shark attack, whatever, my favorite is, this is true, if you are attacked by a grizzly bear, and it says, and he's going through this whole thing, but he says, if the grizzly bear is on top of you, about ready to attack. So here's a freebie for you guys. Ready? It says to grab onto its belly and hold on because it can't scratch its own stomach. For real? Think about that for 1 second. One is, you have to be strong enough to hold onto a bear. Two is this, as soon as he sleeps, you're dead anyway. Right? Like, as soon as he lays down, you're like, oh, I just died sleeping, you know? So, but we have these words, and this is, the reason I bring this up is because a lot of us, I am not kidding you, and this is, I'm just saying, a lot of us live in worst case scenarios. A lot. As soon as you get a phone call from your boss, guess what you're thinking? And if you miss a phone call, it's like, oh, what's he going to chew me out about? You know, as soon as you get called in office, like, what's going on? Like, for you, you live even with the Lord and with people, you're always thinking about the worst case scenario. So what if I get on this plane, it crashes? Do you think worrying about it's going to change that? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, like, you understand how, if I were going to give a percentage, how much of your day is spent on worrying about worst case scenarios? Now, listen, I believe you need to have a plan. I believe it's good to think through things. But if you are constantly living in, this could go, what's the worst case? Listen, we'll be stuck in a rut going over and over again. The further I get from God, listen, the further spiritually sometimes I get from the Lord, the more what ifs begin to roll in my life. I begin to worry about things that I can't control. And here's what happened. Fear begins to paralyze me. There's a quote I've been saying, even with the youth group, when I was a youth pastor, it says, over-analysis leads to spiritual paralysis. When you are constantly thinking and analyzing, it's like going at the edge of a high diving board or a cliff, and you see all your friends jump off, and you're thinking, if I jump off, and the more you stand up there looking down, the longer you stand there, the less likely you are to take a jump. I remember being a little chubby kid and going to Valley Fair and seeing the wild thing for the first time. And I'm like, the longer I'm in the line, the less I wanted to do it. Right? I'm like, if I could just go up there right away and jump on, I was fine. But the more I heard the screams and everything, and now I love it. But I'm just like, because over-analysis leads to spiritual paralysis because we are afraid to step out because of the what if scare us so much, because we hold back. It's interesting because if you wait for your fears to leave, you will be waiting for a long time. Too many people say, I'm just going to wait till I have enough courage. I'm just going to wait till all my fears are gone. And I'm like, dude, just step out. We don't get stronger faith by avoiding fears. We get stronger faith by stepping out. That's the truth. In spite of your worry and in spite of your fears. When fear comes in, we need to identify what truth and trash is. So the next part of the series in their sermon, here's when we start being preachy. A few weeks ago, I talked about this whole thing about toxic truth and toxic trash, because a lot of you, a lot of us, me, even me included, there is some things that we've been told or there's some things that we believe that's just trash. And we need to empty out the trash and put in the truth. And so today I'm going to talk about just what the fear, what that, the truth about fear and worry is in our own spiritual life. Now, this is not everything, but hopefully this gives you a little bit. So the first thing is this, I want to say to you is fear in Greek actually means reverence and respect. It means the awesome reverence and growing greatness of God. To stand, this is my favorite. One of the references is to stand in awe and wonder. And the word fear means to be amazed. And so it's, we actually get the word awesome from the word awe, because we stand in awe, like that is awesome. Like this is, we stand in awe of it. So when you look back at the word Greek, in Greek, the word fear is not just like I'm scared. It really means to stand in awe. So when you look at scripture, for instance, the one I'm going to give you, Proverbs 1:17 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says the fear of the Lord. And some people I've talked to before and said, well, God wants us to fear him. I can't imagine serving a God that wants us to be afraid of him. And I'm like, and this is how I explain this. He's not saying that he wants you to be scared of him, but he's saying to be amazed and to stand in awe and to stand in reverence and to stand in respect. It's like the sun in the sky. It's like when you look at the sun, listen, the sun gives us warmth, the sun gives us light, the sun, you know what I'm saying, light all the time. It's amazing. But you're not going to go outside and just stare at the sun all day, right? Because it's going to burn your eyes. It's going to, you know, if too much sun is going to hurt your skin. You know what I'm saying? It, even though it adds this, there is this part to it that brings you warmth and life and all this kind of stuff, there is part of it that's actually damaging to you. But there's something just amazing about it. The Lord, this is the way, this is what he's talking about. He says, listen, I'm not saying that you need to come to me and saying, be scared. He's saying, the fear of the Lord is saying, a reverence, respect, an awe, and amazement of how amazing the Lord is. Is this, you guys, is this making sense? I want you to catch this. Even though it says the fear and trembling, I'm telling you, one day when we stand before the Lord, it's going to be trembling, not because of just how small I feel, but because how big he is, like, and how loving he is, and how much grace he has. I'm just going to be like, oh, man, this is going to be standing in awe and wonder. And so I just want us to say that. So when I'm talking about fear today, I'm not talking about, like, this amazing, I'm talking about fear that we have. And so here's some truths, or not the trash, that we need to have. Number one is this: God does not give you fear. I don't know what we've been told, but that's, God does not give you fear. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. When you're in the Lord's presence, I'm telling you, there's many times that we go through a stressful situation, my wife and I, and we can just sit back and we can pray and be in the Lord's presence. Something begins to happen that all of a sudden leads us into this whole spirit of peace thing. Now listen, I believe we walk through situations that are fearful. I believe there are situations that we walk through that fear is going to come. But it doesn't mean that God gives us fear. He says that God, I'm going to explain this more in a little bit, but he says this, and it says God does not lead us by fear. It says that he leads us by faith. Fear and faith are not the opposite. Fear is actually faith in the wrong things. Fear is actually faith in, you know what I'm saying, in the what ifs, where faith is faith in the Lord. Fear is placing your faith in the what ifs rather than who God is. Fear defines you, but faith doesn't. Faith is what builds you. Let your faith be bigger than your fears. Make faith-based decisions. And this is what I want us to think. How many decisions do we make through the day, through the week, that are either fear-based decisions or faith-based decisions? This is a huge question. because a lot of us make knee-jerk reactions based upon what we think we're going to lose or abandonment or our fears. And the question is, are we making those decisions because we prayed about it and sought him based upon our faith or based upon our fear? Are we making these decisions because of how I feel or based upon how my faith with the Lord is? God doesn't come to give us fear. God comes to bring us faith and hope and love. It's interesting. Number two, it says this. It says, what you feed grows and what you starve dies. I did a whole sermon series on this a few months ago, and I said, what are we feeding in ourselves? Winston Churchill says this. He says, when I look back at all these worries, I remember a story of an old man who said as his last breath in bed that he had a lot of trouble in life and most of it never happened. This is interesting. There's a scientific study done that says 40% of our worries never happen. Think about that. 40% of our worries never happens. 30% of our worries concern the past, which has already happened. 12% of our worries are needless worries about your health, which just, when you stress about your health, just makes you more unhealthy, which is interesting. 10% of your worries are insignificant or petty concerns, and 8% of your worries are actually legitimate concerns. So fear is like a shadow. When you look, it might go long, but there's nothing there. So don't keep on feeding your worry, because what you feed grows and what you starve dies. So whatever you're giving the most attention to is usually what is growing in your life. So focus on what you develop. Feed your fears. If you're taking notes, write this down. Feed your fears and your faith will starve. Feed your faith and your fears will starve. The enemy wants to suppress us through fear, and God wants to bless us through faith. Number three is this. What you fear reveals what you value most. Fear of losing a job or kids or security. When people live in fear, your identity is not found in God. It's actually found in what you fear of losing the most. What you are constantly worried about is usually an area of your life. Check this out. Usually what you're worried about the most and what you fear the most is usually an area in your life that you truly haven't surrendered to the Lord. An area that you are overly worried and sensitive about is usually an area that you really have not laid down and surrendered to the Lord in that area yet. It reveals your fear, reveals your surrendering point of trusting the Lord with what that is. And here's the deal. My wife is amazing. We talk about this all the time. Like, I shouldn't say we talk about this all the time, because we don't talk about this all the time. But we do talk, we talk about saying, what happens? If one of us dies, what happens? And I don't really have an answer for that. When I think about one of the worst things that could happen is losing my wife. But the question I raise is, Do you go on? Is the Lord still the same? Is the Lord still true to you based upon that? What happens with this? What happens in our life with this? And so your identity is not found in the Lord, but rather in losing something. So what you fear reveals where you trust God the least. What you fear reveals where you trust God the least. And so, and this is, in that area. And number four is this. You want to know a truth? Fear is a liar. I think about this in my life a lot. If the decisions that we made that we are nervous to step out and saying, what if this is not going to happen? What is this going to happen? All the what ifs, and what if we didn't step out? Fear is a lie, because in Scripture, this is the most amazing thing. In Scripture, one of the greatest commands that happen the most often is a simple phrase that says either fear not or it says something like, don't be afraid all through Scripture. Do you know what it says in Scripture? About 365 times, some type of way that says, either says, fear not, don't be afraid, step out, that literally God is commanding us to not be afraid of our surroundings, but to step out. Over 365 times in Scripture, some kind of phrase is used over and over again that says, do not fear. That means for almost every day of the year, there's another free fear not scripture that says, don't fear stepping out. Don't fear taking that step. Don't fear what's going to happen next. It's interesting because in Philippians 4:6, it says this. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. If you have your Bibles, open up to Mark 4, because this is one of my favorite scripture verses. There's a story, and we're going to close with this. There's a story about Jesus in the boat. And what it is his disciples were fishermen, and I'm just going to paraphrase the story. His disciples were fishermen, and they're in a boat, and they're all doing their thing. And Jesus, because of he's hard at ministry working, he decides to take a nap. Everybody know the story? So Jesus is in the bow of the boat, taking a nap in the front of the boat, and as the disciples are in this boat, a storm begins to happen. A storm begins, waves crashing, and these guys who are fishermen, who are used to being in waters that are choppy with the storms, all of a sudden, they begin to get stressed out and worried about that they're going to die. They even started murmuring to themselves saying, if we don't get help, we're going to go under. Like, this is what's going to happen. So fear begins to come in. These are people who walked every single day with Jesus. These are people who saw miracles happen every single day. And all of a sudden, in this moment, their waves were bigger than their faith. At this moment, the storm is bigger than their faith. And all of a sudden, one of them turns to another and says, where's Jesus? And then somebody goes, oh, he's sleeping. Isn't that awesome? Where's the person who's going to help us? Oh, he's sleeping. So then they say, I don't know if they cast lots or what. The disciples decide, okay, one of us has to go wake up Jesus to let him know we're not in a good situation. So two things we realize in the story. One is, Jesus was probably a pretty heavy sleeper, right? I mean, guys, there's a storm going on in a wooden boat, and he's like snoring away. Two is this. Listen, you can ask my wife. I'm not a big fan of being woken up. Anybody else like to be woken up? I go in crazy mode. Like, she might come over, and I might be taking a nap, and she gives me a kiss on her cheek, and I'm like, oh! Like, I just jump. I'm just that way. And so, can you imagine the poor disciple who gets chosen to woke up Jesus? Hey, you can imagine this conversation, and Jesus is sleeping and saying, hey, Jesus, we're in a storm. Can you help? We have a problem going on here. Like, we might go under. This is my favorite part. Jesus wakes up mad. Can you all relate already? Jesus wakes up mad, and this is what he does. He rebukes the storm. He gets up, looks at the storm, and this is what he says. He doesn't get mad at the storm. He just says, be still. And then, this is pretty awesome, then he looks at the disciples and says, what the world? And then he rebukes the disciples and says, you of little faith. My wife and I were going through a trial of time before we came here, and some hard stuff, and over years, and different things going on, and this verse came to me. And I feel like this is what the Lord kind of spoke to us in that season. That's what he said. And this is in this story, I was reading this one day, and I feel like the Lord revealed to us saying, the disciples really never trusted the Lord. Because if they knew who the Lord was, they would know the story doesn't end this way. That the boat's going down with Jesus in it. And they would have realized this, that as long as you have Jesus, as long as you are in a boat with Jesus, you are safer in that boat than you are in a calm day by yourself. The irony about this whole story is this. Jesus calms the storm, and he quiets the disciples. And he is pretty much saying, listen, I know there's a storm out there, but there's also a storm in here, and you need to settle down. Because I am with you. Because I am in a boat with you. I love it because what he tells us that there's storms is this. He says, be still. Just says, be still. It's interesting. About a year ago, we did a sermon series called The Nine, which is the nine fruits of the Spirit. And in that series, we're talking about love, joy, peace, and we're talking about all the fruits of the Spirit. And one of the things one of the things I was shown in that scripture, in that series was, you can't give what you don't have. I can't, if I go in a situation that needs to have peace or joy and I don't have it, I can't give it. If you're trying to talk to somebody at your work about, you know what I'm saying, being nice and you're not nice, I'm telling you, it's not going to work. You can't give what you don't have. If you don't have love, joy, peace. And then I got to the word peace and I started preaching on it. I started getting ready for the word peace and I was thinking, how do I show this to peace to the congregation so they understand when you go through a situation, when you go through a storm and the waves are crashing, how do we know that we can go through this? I'm telling you, this is it. Peace is not the absence of something. Peace is not the absence of a storm. Peace is not the absence of a trial. Peace is not the absence of fear. Peace is not that. Peace is not the absence of something. Peace is found in the presence of someone. Hear me on that? Peace is not the absence of something. Peace is the presence of somebody in your life. And when you, listen, I'm not saying you will ever conquer your fears. I'm just saying in the midst of your fears, you don't need to be controlled by your fears because you realize as long as I'm in this boat with the Lord, we're not going down this way. And I'd rather be with him than would be with somebody else. And I think the trust comes in, are you living by fear or are you living by faith? We can get Dan and Brian up here. And are you living by fear or are you living by faith? It's interesting because his presence brings peace, and that peace that passes all understanding. 1 John 4:18 says this, there is no love, or no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Love kicks fear, and the only way to beat fear is love. Perfect love casts out fear. So either you kick out fear out of your hearts, or faith begins to leave. I love this. It says 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him. I love this. Because he cares for you. Cast all your worries. Cast all your fears. Cast all your anxiety. Because he cares for you. Everybody just stand up for a second. It's interesting because I really believe in our lives that we live in fear. There's a story, this is not a true story, but it's a story I heard when I was in high school about a little tiny girl, sweet little girl, just got off the bus from school. She got off the bus and she was on her way home and she was by herself. And as she walked to the bus, she can hear the bus drive away. And as the bus drove away, she can hear another noise. And she hears some kind of panting and something. And all of a sudden, she looked back, and she saw this big dog just coming at her. The dog was bigger than her. And she looked back, and she yelled, and she threw her backpack, and she just started sprinting for her house. And this dog was faster than her, and she was only a few houses away from her house. And all of a sudden, she ran, and every step she took, that dog got closer and closer, and she can just feel the heat and feel the veins of the dog, and she can just feel it. And she kept on running. And all of a sudden, she got to the garage, and she saw her dad in the garage. And as soon as she saw her daddy, she just says, Daddy, help. And the dad ran after her. He saw the dog coming, and he just picked her up, and he scooped her up. The dog stopped right there. sat down. And then as the dad held the little girl, he just held her. The little girl looked up at the dad, and then she looked down at the dog. She looked at the dad, and she looked down at the dog, still shaking. And one more time, she looked at the dad, and she looked down at the dog, and she pointed at the dog, and she said, "Bad dog." Listen, it's a cute story, but it reminds me of the Lord in our lives. That sometimes we feel like we're just being pursued, that we just feel like, why is everybody coming against us? Why are the storms always coming at me? And all of a sudden we come, listen, this is why church is so good. We run and we run and we lift up our hands, like worship, we lift up our hands and we just say, daddy, and he picks us up. Listen, he picks us up. And all of a sudden in your life, you just feel like stronger and you feel like something's different. And you realize it's no longer me holding the problems, it's the Lord holding me. And you're being held up, and all of a sudden the thing that you are afraid of feels different because somebody else is holding you. You're no longer a slave to the fear. You're now being held by somebody who is bigger than you are. Not because you're great, but because he's great. Not because you're big, because your daddy's big. And your daddy, when he holds you, he protects you, he loves you, he builds you up, and he's stronger than your fears. I'm telling you, today, start the journey that your faith will be stronger than your fears. You know how you walk forward to the Lord? You no longer make decisions based upon your worries and fears. You making decisions based upon your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're no longer saying, I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't know what's going to happen here. Lord, I pray for safety. That's cool, but here's what I pray for. Lord, your will be done. Lord, you used Job in that whole situation. I don't want you to take everything away from me, but Lord, I trust you. We have to come to a point in our spiritual journey that you say this. It's easy to say tokenly, but you have to reveal it saying, Lord, you are good all the time. This situation stinks, this storm stinks, this stuff stinks, but you are good and you are faithful when I'm not. You are stick closer to a brother when I don't. You hold me when I don't seek you. You are the one who holds all things together. I may not understand why this is happening. I don't understand why my kids are doing this. I don't understand this financial situation. I don't get the world. I don't understand even voting. I don't get it. But here's what matters. God is good, he's in control, he loves you, and he wants to hold you. He's in charge. Last time I checked, he's still on the throne, right? The last time I checked, not only is he on a throne, but he says the enemy is his footstool. That means he's on a throne, and where he rests his feet is on the enemy. He brushes his feet off on the enemy and says, listen, I've already conquered that. I've already beat that. I've already conquered that. Listen, I'm not telling you it's easy. I'm telling you it's a toxic that we need to bring up and saying, don't live in fear. Don't live in the what ifs. But what if we started thinking, listen, what if you started thinking, well, what if I invite this person to church and what if they make fun of me? What if they, you know what I'm saying? What if I start talking about this person, about Jesus? What if I prayed with this person? What if nothing good happens? I don't know. What if something awesome happens? Whatever happened to our what ifs being awesome? What if you do talk to them? What if you do bring somebody cookies? What if you do encourage them? What if you decide to pray for somebody and something does happen? How awesome is that?
Thanks for listening. Join us next week as we continue the Toxic Sermon series.